Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Leslie.
I'm Tessie.
And we are sisters-in-law, and we like to talk to each other, and we like to learn about people and other women and the amazing things that they're doing with their lives. We started this podcast, I don't know, a couple months ago, approximately 5 months ago, and we have talked to so many incredible women. And you know what? They're just like you. They have a mama bear inside of them that is fierce and ferocious and tender and beautiful. And they are using that mama bear in so many different ways. Some of them are pouring their love into nonprofits. Some of them are caring for children with special needs. Some of them are making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and just emitting love, the energy of love and beauty into the world. So we are learning about these women, and along the way, we're sharing their stories with you. So thanks for listening. And today we're going to talk, just the two of us, Tessie, about something could get a little bit tricky.
I hope you'll hang with us, you guys, because today we indeed are diving into the treacherous waters of the phenomenon that is youth sports. Exactly. Oh, and so you know what? If you're already checking out because your kids don't participate, stick around, because I think there's some lessons to be had here anyway. Would you agree, Leslie?
100%.
Oh, I love that you use that. That's right. 100%. When we put out a call on our social media accounts to have our listeners tell us what they thought of youth sports, we received feedback that ran the gamut of human emotion. So today we're really just going to do our best to dive in. And, you know, as always on these minis, we can't possibly cover every facet of those emotions. We just want to start the conversation or continue the conversation in a way that might make you consider a side of the discussion that you haven't before. This isn't just really to chat about youth sports. We really want to encourage our listeners to harness the mama bears in good, productive, loving ways within youth sports. And hopefully that's what you guys get out of it. That's what we're hoping to do today. Leslie, I feel like we should first mention that both of our kids are actually involved in youth sports. Mm-hmm. So we do both believe in the value of them to some extent, but even though that's true, I think we come at this topic from different perspective as well, because I played sports my entire life, even into college, and my husband, Zach, also played through college. So it's safe to say we grew up kind of immersed in this culture.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I know you, but maybe your listeners don't know your story. What were you like?
So, same? First of all, Tessie, I think we should mention that you were not just involved in youth sports, but weren't you like female athlete of the year in the state of Iowa or something crazy like that?
Do I remember? The Iowa Games, yes.
That's incredible.
I got to light a torch and everything, you guys. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
I hugely respect you for that. And Zach was on his way to playing Division I baseball on a scholarship when you guys had Tristan. So you are both like really talented athletes. So
we're. Yep.
I think that's fantastic. So, but to answer your question, you could say that I dabbled in sports and youth sports as a kid. I played t-ball and softball in the summers, and I ran track for a few years in high school, and I tested out some other sports as well. I played one season of volleyball, and then the next year I tried swimming, and 2 weeks into the season, I got the lead in the high school musical, Little Shop of Horrors, and thank God I got to quit swimming and do that instead.
So you retired your towel after 2 weeks?
Yes.
I love that.
I retired the towel. So yeah, I mean, as part of the American childhood, especially I grew up in a small town where Friday night football ruled. I spent some time involved in team sports, but definitely lit no torches.
Safe to say, we do come at this from a few different places. Plus, our kids kind of run the gamut as well, as far as they really love youth sports or they just do it to be involved. Now, all of that said, Leslie, I do feel like I have to remind the listener that I did graduate with a degree in cinema, and so I want to give an ode to one of my favorite 1960s westerns, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And I thought as an approach to this rather large topic that is youth sports, we could do it and break it down in that way, because youth sports has a bit of them all, right? And I believe there are lessons to pull from every aspect. So we
I
need
love
to
it.
Figure out.
I love that. Yeah. The good, the bad, and the ugly of youth sports.
Shout out Clint Eastwood, you know? But I feel like this will give us a good age when to engage the mama bear and when to just chill.
Totally. I agree.
Yeah.
And as a former C team volleyball player and the president of the Tipton High School band, I can't wait. Let's do this.
All right. So, of course, the first is the good. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about youth sports is time management. I think it teaches kids good time management from an early age, because once kids are in school, they have to learn that balance of sports, homework, time with friends, time with family. And obviously, I believe this can happen with kind of artistic endeavors as well, like piano mm-hmm. and theater, things like that. But sports requires more of a time commitment than the arts usually. And so this is something that can be learned rather quickly, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely one of the things that I appreciate about youth sports as well. On the days that any of my kids have sports or dance, they know they have to get their schoolwork done beforehand, because I guess I think it's kind of obvious that schoolwork would come first. But specifically, yeah. Our middle, Eli, he loves sports. He doesn't love practicing the piano, but on days where he has practices, there's no fussing with reading or homework or practicing. He's motivated because he knows that he gets to go and participate in his sports team.
Yeah, same for my kids. So we love the time management aspect, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I love, I feel like it teaches the kids teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they learn this in school a little bit too, to some extent, with team projects and such. But because I think the nature of youth sports, the constant action of the game and things like that, they're forced to learn to do it under pressure and to do it quickly. So I feel like it helps them learn how to rely and trust on their teammates, which will hopefully be a lesson they take with them when dealing with their siblings, their significant others, their kids, their coworkers, so on and so on throughout life.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I think learning lessons in those kind of high pressure situations really do help kids remember the lessons. And then they kind of have to make it their second nature, you know? They kind of learn those things and then can trust themselves. I also think it teaches kids respect for coaches or for yeah. their other teammates or for refs or umpires, even from like the youngest of youth sports ages. It forces kids to do this, or they run the risk of being taken out of the game or having to leave the practice. So it forces them to kind of learn that respect in an environment, again, that's different than home where they need to respect their parents, or school where they're respecting teachers. But especially for those kids who just genuinely love sports, it does require them to hold on to the respect despite being excited or even overstimulated from all of that excitement.
Yeah, I think this is a big one. And I really think this is one of the ways that we as parents can help cultivate that within the culture of youth sports. I know for us, one of the ways that kind of works itself out is we make our kids shake the coach's hand and introduce themselves before the season starts, and then do the same after the season and just kind of thank them for their time and all of that. And we also, especially as they've gotten older, encourage them to shake the hands of the referees before games too. And, you know, we'll get into this a little more as we go on, but we're just, as parents, really intentional about not allowing our kids to yell at the refs or the umps, no matter how disappointed they are in a particular call. And we do not stand for them talking back to the coaches or any of that. So one of the main parts where parents can come into that respect angle is by, you know, showing that too, mm-hmm. but then just reminding their kids as well. But Leslie, I think for me, one of the main reasons, because some of my kids didn't love youth sports when they were younger, but one of the main reasons I continued to sign them up was because I just really wanted to build kind of a solid foundation of health and wellness. I wanted them to learn early on that moving their bodies can be fun and energizing and that they feel better overall when they do it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Organized youth sports, of course, isn't the only way that you can teach this to your child, but we would be remiss not to mention the extent with which sedentary lifestyles are affecting our kids' generation. Mm-hmm. It's really a problem, and it's not at all about the visual of what scientists are calling the overweight generation, but it's how it's affecting their abilities to grow and their ability to use their brain. So I think signing up for youth sports, whether or not your child is super into it or has like natural ability, it can really have a positive effect on their confidence and their desire just to move.
Oh, amen to that. Absolutely. And I just have to point out, too, because I've heard that, and it's understandable, just like you talked about with PTA, it can be hard for single moms or single dads or, you know, kids who have two working parents with multiple jobs to find time to join the PTA or to find time to get their kids to and from practices. But mm-hmm. this is where our mama bears can really get engaged, right? Because there are many coaches and many parents of teammates who would love to take your kid to practice. We had a basketball team and we had a few situations like that where Zach and I, we put in that extra seat in our minivan and we had like half the team and another mom who worked part-time, she grabbed the other half and we just carpooled, you know. And I think this is a really beautiful way your mama bear can engage in your community, is to just take care of those kids who maybe wouldn't have the opportunity otherwise too.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought that up as a way for Mama Bear to engage, because we're not all going to Africa, right? Like, we're not all serving abroad. We're not all like starting nonprofits. But you know what? We can pick up a kid and get them to practice for a family that might be unable to or is struggling in some way. So great point. What I also hope that my kids learn from this whole thing is really how to win and lose with grace. And I think this is 100% a lifelong lesson. And it's tough here, I think, because our culture really values competition. Yeah. And that's not just in youth sports, but in a lot of work environments as well. So this isn't a value that they'll outgrow just because they might not go on to play sports in high school or college or something like that. But learning how to win and lose with grace is so important.
Yeah, and teaching our kids and ourselves how to be genuinely happy for the other team and how hard the other team or their teammates have worked has a lasting impact on our kids too. And you know what? This is tough with one of my babes who's super competitive, but because this is a really hard lesson for him, that grace angle, but understanding that in the grand scheme of life, this loss or setback is so small. I mean, that's also a lesson that's learned in youth sports that carries out through their lives. You don't get the job? Well, it's okay. There's another one around the corner, you know? I mean, this perspective is really important. Mm-hmm. So we have the ability to really nurture this as parents. And I think we should nurture these kind of lessons we talked about, the respect, the teamwork, all of that, as parents. So Leslie, let's talk about a little more in depth how, as mama bears, we can really embrace these good qualities of youth sports.
Yeah, I think, like we've talked about previously in the show, that we put a lot of this on our kids, particularly in the time management. So of course, it's dependent on the age of your child, but I think you can absolutely sit down with them at the beginning of the week and say, okay, you have practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and you have a big test that you need to study for on Friday. So how are you going to do this? What's your week going to look like in terms of study and sports times? How are you going to get this done?
Mm-hmm. That's so good. That's such a great point. For little ones, I mean, obviously, I think we need to mirror this as a parent so they can kind of start to learn that. And as they get older, this won't be such a shocking lesson. Mm-hmm. But you could, you know, you could talk through it with them. Something like, hey, you have practice today and Thursday, so I'm going to get dinner ready before we leave so that you still have time to do schoolwork when we get home. And we won't have to be rushing around to eat too. You know, kind of saying those out loud will mm-hmm. probably give them, will hopefully give them the tools then and the understanding to do it as they get older as well. And, you know, Leslie, I just firmly believe that the good stuff of youth sports can be cemented in the car rides to and from the athletic events. On the way to the events in our car, we are usually trying to remind them to be respectful, to shake hands, to rely on their teammates. This is also a good time that you can coach them to be supportive and positive to the opponents and the rest of their teammates, no matter what they feel about them, right? And then after the game, I think it's really important to not necessarily talk about the specifics of the game, but just congratulate them on the things they did well that we are talking about here. Oh, man, Jimmy, I heard you congratulate that kid from the other team on his really nice goal. That was so cool. Or, oh, Leslie, I know you must have been disappointed when the coach put you at defense, even though you hate defense, but I'm so proud of you for being respectful to her and for going where your team needed you the most. I just think those kind of things, like not focusing on the goal they missed or the goal they made, but really those lessons that we just talked about of the respect or the teamwork or whatever, I think that's a really big deal.
I love that idea. I love that. I think making the car ride just a really safe place to nail down those ideas, that it's fantastic because the kids are stuck, right? Like they have to be there and we can influence them. We have the power to influence them.
Yeah.
So we can't underestimate that. I love that. So if we want them to learn these things, we do have to exemplify these things. And sometimes, Tessie, it just doesn't happen. So I think we need to get into the bad. So I know a few of my nephews and niece are like one of my sons. They just aren't super competitive by nature. Mm-hmm. They enjoy mm-hmm. being active, being involved in sports, but they weren't born with that kind of win at all costs mentality like some kids, some of my other children or nephews, perhaps.
Yes. Yes.
But this is where I feel like youth sports, particularly today's variety, is just hyper competitive and can often push out those kids who just kind of want to be involved or want to be there so they can hang out with their friends.
You said it. I think this is certainly one of the trickier parts about youth sports. The best thing for those kids, like what you mentioned, one of your sons, a couple of my kids, is to get them involved in places like the Y, right? Mm-hmm. Organizations like the Y or AYSO are really meant for exactly what you said. The kids who aren't super competitive but really still want to be involved. And they're still a great place to learn all the lessons, all the good things we just talked about. But there is still a real risk of pushing non-competitive kids in sports. I remember we tried to have our oldest, Tristan, be on a travel baseball team. I don't know, he was something like 7 or so. And it was just too soon for him. He's always been like that laid-back kid. You know, he was cool winning, cool losing, just didn't like the cutthroat nature of the whole thing. So he hated it. He hated every second of that travel baseball team. Even though his grandpa was the coach, he just hated the intensity of the parents and the whole situation. So I'm glad we kept him involved in sports because now he really loves them. But I think it's important to not let teams like that intimidate you or your kids, because no matter what level of interest you or your child has, there is a team for you. Mm-hmm. It just might require, you know, a little more research to find.
Yes, totally. And can I just say something else? Can we talk about our country and just letting our babies be babies for a while longer?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been to those games with six-year-olds playing and the parents yelling and the coaches yelling and the group of six-year-olds just like wanting to hang out and throw sand at each other. and then eat the snacks that are given out at the end of the game. I mean, I don't know. We laugh about it, but we really should, I think, be careful about putting pressure on our babies to be competitive at a really early age. Remember why we signed them up in the first place. It's all of those good things. Those are the reasons why that we described earlier. Those are the good things. And it can be accomplished without this hyper-competitive stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go ahead and say it too. I also think one of the bad is for our boys specifically, youth sports has a really ugly way of pressuring them to quote unquote take it like a man, which I hate that phrase. I hate it so much because, you know, sports often naturally rewards the competitive drive. It can sometimes push boys to suppress feelings other than competitiveness. And it can really work against, you know, nurturing empathy in our sons. Just last year, oh boy, this story will not surprise you, but just last year, I had a mom tell Teriku to man up after he got hit by a pitch. I know.
Oh,
I know.
Zach, Mama Bear.
Zach immediately looked at me and he was so scared about what was going to come next. But I was that crazy mom. I walked to the dugout when Teriku got back in and was saying, don't you feel pressure to feel anything than what you're genuinely feeling? You got hit by a pitch. It hurts. You can feel hurt. You can feel sad. Maybe you're a little embarrassed. I don't know. Whatever. I even said, like, I don't know what man up even means, but don't do it, Teriku. Just be you. That's way better. And, you know, Teriku, who is my uber competitive, he just sits there blinking at me, you know, like, I mean, this was probably lost on him, but I really hate that. I hate this idea of manning up, whatever that means. I hate that because of the uber competitive nature of youth sports, it does work against our kids who are naturally empathetic to encourage them to be more so, you know?
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing. Like, were you like rubbing frankincense oil on your temples to calm you as you approached the dugout to talk with
your son? I pulled my bag of essential oils and was like, which one's needed here?
Oh my gosh. But no, you're absolutely right. And Derek was only 11. I mean,
11.
They're so young. They're so, so young. And, you know, they're only impressionable for so long. I don't want, I just hate the idea of making things worse by like dumping all of this crazy on them. But Tessie, I think, you know, what I feel like is the worst of the bad in the youth sports, because you know how much I value travel. And summer youth sports, they take up entire summers for kids. So it leaves no time for kids to just be like going on little trips or making forts in the backyard or taking the time to visit, you know, extended family and go off on vacation. So that is something that I really have struggled with as we've entered this world.
Oh my gosh, I 100% agree. And I feel like I still have some PTSD from this year's baseball season. So I am with you there. And as a wife to a camp director, I can tell you firsthand that summer sports is eating into summer camps too. Mm. You know, these kids who have went for years and years to summer camp and who have loved it every time no longer come because they've committed to a summer sport. And by they, I mean, oftentimes the parents have committed them to a summer sport. And it's so sad when we'll see the campers out in the community and they'll say things like, oh man, I miss camp so much, but I have to play baseball. So mom and dad said there's no time to go to this year. It just bums me out, you know, that kids are missing out on these kind of quintessential kid activities because of this youth sports madness. And I feel like the cost can also be seen as bad. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Maybe even downright ugly, right? This might even belong in the ugly column, but of course, there aren't a lot of costs associated with things like the Y, but as kids get older, there's this tremendous amount of pressure to join travel ball clubs. It's insane. I mean, it is insane because the cost of these are usually upwards of $1,000 a season, typically upwards of that. I mean, that would be minimum. So it excludes so many people who simply aren't able to afford it. And the kind of double-edged sword of that is that exclusion from travel ball often puts these kids at a disadvantage then when it comes to regular season because, number one, their teammates have been playing together for a long time, right? And so they naturally pass to each other more, have this kind of relationship that the kids who didn't play with them don't have. And number two, they've had access to coaching that whole time. So it's kind of this terrible cycle of not being able to afford travel ball, but also, especially if your kids are hoping to play in college or high school, kind of not being able to not afford it. Or at least that's what our culture tells us. I'm not saying this is true or false, right? So I know we're excluding all of these kids who deserve just as much as the rest of us to be included in sports long term.
Yes. Yes. And it is. It's so sad. And especially because this is one way our mama bears could be ripe for action, right? I mean, so many travel ball teams claim that they pick the best of the best when the reality is they pick the best from the group who can try out, meaning the group who knows that they can afford the extra expense.
Yes.
So if you're really wanting your child to play with the best, then Mama Bear, pay attention. Seek out those kids who are naturally gifted and clearly love the game, and then ask their parents if they've considered trying out for a travel team. If they mention that money is a factor, offer to fundraise, honestly, or help them with the cost. Help them with the cost if their child is chosen and you are in a position where you can do so. I think that is a great use of our mama bear. And it's just another way that privilege plays out, right? We've talked about this before. If your kid is playing on a travel team, then that's a privilege. Not just because they've worked hard to get on it, but because you can afford it. And you know what we encourage you to do with your privilege, right? Unpack it and then use it to help others around you.
Oh, truth bomb. Are you walking away? Are you walking away after that statement?
I just dropped the mic.
I was like,
it's on the floor.
It's on the floor. I'm out. I love that idea of reaching out to parents and encouraging them that way. I mean, that is such a great way to use our mama bear. So how else can our mama bear come out to play to kind of offset some of the bad stuff from youth sports? I was thinking about this, and Jody Landers, friend of the show, she was also a guest. We'll link to her episode in the show notes. We had a long texting conversation about this. She has six kids who are all really involved in sports, so I knew she'd be a good one to talk to. But she set rules for herself on how she behaves at her kids' sporting events, and I love them so much. I told her I would steal them for the show. So her first rule for herself is this: very, very few things need to be said, and even fewer need to be said by you. I mean, mamas, did you hear that? Very few things need to be said, and even fewer need to be said by you. That is so good, Jody Landers. Mm-hmm. And her second rule: we are for our teammates. So she says when she starts to get that yucky competitive feeling herself, then she puts extra effort into believing in and pulling for the other kids on the team, wanting to genuinely see them succeed.
Yes.
Right? I think this could revolutionize the way we as parents react in youth sports. I mean, I really, really believe that. And especially for our kids who might not be as naturally competitive, I just think it would change the whole dynamic.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I think it's a good practice for the kids. And as Jody says, you know, for you too, when you are an encourager, then your kids see you being that encourager and then they become encouragers too. It's as simple as that and as beautiful as that, really.
Yeah. And Leslie, one other way we can be a mama bear against these kind of bad parts of youth sports is to protect what is right within your soul as a mom. So because travel is important to you and say camp is to us, we protect that, you know, even though, like an example, Tristan's little league team made it to state this year. We weren't planning on that. So we had already signed the kids up for a week of camp and it just so happened to coincide with some of his games. We still let him go to camp. And then we just picked him up for the couple hours of his game. And then we dropped him back off at camp. And yes, he was tired. And maybe he could have performed better had he slept in his own bed and gotten more sleep. But no, he did not care. He did not care a bit. He got to do two of his favorite things that week. And he was beyond thrilled. So if it's important to you as a family, don't let this hypothetical risk of your kid not advancing or getting a scholarship just because you took that one vacation deter you. You get one precious childhood with your babe. So don't let anyone but you and your partner dictate what that looks like.
That is right. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're right.
So now that we've established that I'm right, Leslie, let's just rip off the Band-Aid. What do you see as one of the ugliest aspects of youth sports culture?
Oh, do I really have to answer this?
Oh, yeah. Go for it, Mama.
Oh, I think if I'm being honest, it's the parents.
Your face is bright red.
You guys are the worst. Your face is bright red.
You guys are the worst.
I mean, I have to believe that it is the misdirected Mama Bear or Papa Bear that is making us yell at coaches because we think our kids deserve more playing time, or who's yelling at the refs because they made a wrong call at a Little League game. I don't know how or when it happened, but parents have ruined youth sports.
Shots fired. Shots fired. You know that I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I would say 99.9% of the negative yelling. So this obviously doesn't include like, come on, little Jimmy, you can do it. Or nice try, you swung so hard. I would say 90% of the negative yelling is ego-based on the part of the parents. Meaning we are yelling because we are embarrassed our kid didn't do as well as we hoped. I mean, I think it goes even beyond that as well. Sometimes parents will actually put their kids in physical danger. We just heard about this, and just before I was thinking about the youth sports mini, and so I had to bring up this example, but we found out this one dad had put his kid on three different baseball teams, and there are pitch counts for those of you who don't know, who don't play baseball, but there are pitch counts for pitchers to protect their little growing arms from injury. I mean, it goes all the way up to the major leagues too, but obviously each league doesn't know if a player is playing on another league, so they don't cross-check pitch counts. But anyway, we found out this kid had been pitching for three different teams and had thrown over 100 pitches more than he should have. So listeners, this is our responsibility as their parents to protect them from something like this. It's hard. I get it. Little Johnny, he just loves to pitch. But little Johnny's 10, and he doesn't know anything about life. So, mamas, we need our mama bears to come out on behalf of future Johnny's body and say, enough is enough.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
I know, right?
Ugh. And what I'm hearing, it sounds like the overuse injuries are huge, right? Like, yeah. Just sort of this other ugly aspect of this sort of youth sports in America phenomenon. We're encouraging our kids to be on these travel clubs that play year-round. And, I mean, from what I'm hearing, and again, I don't have a great pulse on this, but it's injuring our kids. Yeah. So I feel like there should be a little bit of rage over this, a little bit of mama bear outrage.
I agree. I mean, we can agree that some injury is unavoidable just by nature of being active, you know, like the rolled ankles or whatever. But I've talked to doctors. I've read the stuff. Like, these doctors are seeing injuries in shoulders, elbows, knees, and ankles that they normally see in, like, 30-plus-year-old athletes. It's insane. I mean, our bodies were never meant to make the same movement over and over and over again. So our joints, especially when they're young and the joints are kind of malleable anyway, they just can't sustain us in this way. Mamas, it's hard. But I agree with you, Leslie. This is where we really need to engage the mama bear. Do your research. Your research will tell you whether or not it's physically good for your kid. And the research will tell you that based on not just your kid, in terms of, like, they don't care about your kid. They're just talking about the science, right? Which is good. Good to hear. I'm not saying everybody should do this, but it was because Zach and I read and researched so much about concussions and CTE in football that we decided we weren't going to let our kids play this year. So I'm not saying, again, that that's right for you. If your kid plays football, totally fine. But our kids weren't happy. They were not happy with this decision. And it was hard to make as a parent because they really did want to play football. But I was like, I don't care. Once I knew what could happen to their precious little brains, I just couldn't bring myself to put them in potential danger like that. And so we made that executive decision. So mama bears, if you do research and something's giving you that little icky feeling in your gut, I mean, it might be time to make that hard decision.
Yeah. And that was a really brave thing for you guys to do. I know, you know, you are very much a part of this culture, and that's a big deal. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And, but you know, we make hard choices as parents all the time, and yeah. choices that our kids don't always love and that really our culture doesn't always celebrate. But I mean, we get it. I sometimes just really wonder why in every other capacity, like screen time or like sugar, constant sugar, yeah. we're okay with setting rules and limits and sometimes just outright saying no. But then with youth sports, we don't really hear of that happening. Like, it's sort of revolutionary if you refuse to let your kid go to a practice that is on a Sunday morning because you want to take your kids to church or whatever yeah. it is. So in so many ways, we believe that coaches or other parents or our culture, that it's all saying, they're all saying that it's right and it's okay for our kids to participate. And we just kind of go with the flow sometimes, and we find it hard to stand up for what we believe or just to do our due diligence as parents.
Mm, that is such a good point. I mean, I can admit that this is hard, totally. So I'm not saying like this is a flippant thing and you just decide and everything's fine. You know, it's so hard to not get swept up in all the kind of hubbub, especially one of our kids is just really naturally gifted at sports. And so anytime he plays, there are parents or other coaches saying like, oh, can you have him try out for this team or this team? And it's hard not to succumb to that because one, that helps your ego, even if that person is, that child is not genetically linked to you. It's still, you know, you're proud of them and they love it. So it's hard to say no to that, but you have to sometimes. And we've talked on the podcast before, just like you said, about how hard it can be to parent in a countercultural way, but it doesn't mean that it's not important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
As we were talking about doing this podcast, I sat down, Tristan was sitting next to me, and I said, what do you love about dad and my role in your youth sports? And he said, I just love having you show up. You always come to games. You're always cheering me on. I love having you support me. And I just love that. It was so simple. That was it. That was all he said. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen it, Leslie. Jody actually sent it to me, but there's this video that we'll link to in the show notes. Kids were interviewed and asked about their parents in sports, you know, when the kids were playing sports. And in virtually all of the interviews, the kids said the same thing. They essentially want us to shut up, but they want us to be there.
I love that. I haven't seen the video, but I'll for sure watch it. But yeah, I mean, that just seems so clear in so many things. Just show up. It's simple, but yet we mess it up so badly sometimes.
We really do. In my conversation with Jody, she said, maybe what it is this expression of love and protection that protects me and mine. But this is not the kind of love that Jesus talks about or that we are truly striving towards as mama bear. We are called to a kind of love that goes beyond our own family. Mm-hmm. Right? That goes beyond our own family. That's what our podcast is about too, isn't it? And then she gave this comparison, which I just thought was so fascinating. But she said, so it's like a white supremacist thinking their actions are out of love for white people. It's misdirected, it's shallow, it's not a full understanding of love. So she obviously wasn't making our insanity of youth sports a direct comparison there, but she was saying this craziness comes in our shallow expressions of love for our own kids.
Yes, I love that. I mean, at first I was a little shocked when you said that, but I love it because it is, it's a shallow expression of love. And we have to check ourselves on that, right? Because like you said, we say it all the time. We are capable of big, smart, deep, limitless expressions of love. You know, I know, there is love and then there's more love. So you can root for and encourage and cheer for your kids, but you can also do that for every member of the team. every coach, every ref, and dare I say it, every kid on the other team as well.
Mm-hmm. You know I love when you say there's love and then there's more love. I'd need that tattooed somewhere, I think.
Ooh, I like I love that idea.
And because I know you, I know you're not saying this in some kind of kumbaya kind of way, but in a real authentic kind of way, right? I think of this dynamic often because I'm a mom to two pitchers. And whenever someone hits a hard hit off of my son and the other team goes crazy and the moms are high-fiving and like banging on the... I can't even saying it sounds like I'm making a movie, but this is true. This happens all the time. And like banging on the fence.
It's very cinematic, for sure.
It is very cinematic.
Youth sports are made for the movies.
Right? But I almost want to cry because there's my son on the pitching mound, just devastated and a little embarrassed. And, you know, he's watching it all happen. And then vice versa, too, right? Like someone on our team gets a really good hit. I always look at the pitcher and the shoulders are slumped and it's just so bad. So if we want to harness our mama bear, perhaps I would argue there's no greater opportunity than in the midst of a youth sporting event. Because if you're genuinely pulling for kids of your whole team, everybody, it is awfully hard to get pissed at your kids' playing time. Mm-hmm. And if you're genuinely pulling for the coach, then it's awfully hard not to give him grace during his or her mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, this should be a challenge for all of us to show up at a youth sporting event and bring our mama bear and check our mama bear. I mean, this could possibly be the greatest test of our mama bear in the world. Right. In the world.
It really, I mean, think about that. It's easy to get angry over not clean water, right? It is hard to do what we're talking about here.
That's right. But it is. It's that kind of love and grace that will make us rethink the 100 games a month and just the general insanity of what can happen. It can stop the burnout for the kids, too, which I think is another kind of ugly underbelly of youth sports. If we can kind of just keep our eyes on the prize, if we can remember what we love about youth sports and then have those be the compass to which we ask ourselves if this decision helps them with time management and respect and teamwork and healthfully moving their bodies and everything that we've already talked about, then everything else gets a little bit easier.
Yes, yes. And as someone who played youth sports her whole life, I can just let everybody know and remind all of you, if you have forgotten this, our kids won't remember a thing. They will not remember any of this. I remember every single silly, stupid song we sang during softball games, but I don't remember a single game.
That is hilarious.
I remember looking out in the crowd and seeing my mom and dad smile and cheer, but I don't remember any goals or baskets I scored. I remember some in high school just because you're older, and it's been a while, but not that long ago. But essentially nothing before that, you guys. And I love sports. Like, this was my thing. So let's keep that in perspective, parents. Your kids won't remember jack other than how you react. Let's be real.
Oh, thank God. Let's be encouraged by that. And so if you're feeling over the atmosphere of the games, then this is for you. You're not alone. I've seen Tessie's Snapchat of her reading a book in the corner away from parents at games.
Whoopsies.
And I have been known to pop my earbuds in and listen to a podcast or two myself during games. But if you're feeling like instead of yelling at the team or coach or refs and you want to make true, genuine connections with other like-minded parents, then do it. Make that first step to reach out and connect. Just make sure that you make that first connection about something real and something positive and not your child's latest statistics.
Can I get an amen? I will always put down my book for you if you're wanting to talk about something deep, for sure. So like we said, this obviously is not comprehensive, but we wanted to start the discussion. So Mama Bears, do you think we did it? Do you think it's time for the dare?
I think so. I think it's time for a manifesto of sorts.
Okay. Okay.
But I do. I think, you know, there we covered the good, and I think that's really important, that there is there is good in youth sports, and it's just sort of this culture that we live in that we just need to check ourselves sometimes on those bad parts and those ugly parts, because as we said in the beginning, a whole lot of good can come out of the youth sports that we have organized and have access to here.
Yeah, and you're right. We made a point to really go into the good, because you guys all know bad and ugly when you see it at youth sports. But I think we've lost focus and lost sight of the good. So I think it was important to just remind everybody. And there's more than what we talked about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But Tessie, let's do it. Let's give give these listeners a dare. You know you want to.
Yeah, and I think you know where this is going. Oh, listeners. Boy. I think you do. So today we dare you to check your ego, check your own dreams, check your highlight reel from your time in youth sports. Check it all at the door of that minivan before stepping foot in the hallowed halls of a youth sporting event. Just as our past, our egos, and our glory days should have no bearing on our kids in any other aspect of life, they also have no business in how we interact with our kids during their youth sporting days. Youth sports can be good for our babies for all the reasons we described and many we didn't have time to even list. It feels so good to see our babes try at something and succeed. It's fun to watch them doing things they love. There is nothing like a chilly morning, snuggled under the blanket with your partner, one hand locked with theirs and the other gripping a fresh cup of coffee. These are some of the best days with our children, Mama Bears. Today, we dare you to not ruin it. When our kids close their eyes at night, let the image they have of you be one where you're smiling and clapping and enjoying the show. Don't let it be one where you are against the fence, face constricted, pointing at the umpire. When your kids think of you at sporting events, let the only emotion they felt be one of love. And Mama Bears, we dare you to extend that love to the players on the team. Yes, even little Billy, who swears in the dugout and who once stole your kids' glove and filled it with sand. Even Billy deserves to be wrapped in the sugary goodness that only a true Mama Bear can provide. Let's dare to embrace the higher level of love that embraces all those around us and not just our own little cubs. It takes work and it takes intentionality. It takes pep talks given to yourself before you leave your car, but this kind of love is what is needed to spread the beams of love and compassion, even into the dark corners of youth sports. We want to raise kind, loving, respectful, compassionate competitors, and the only way we can do that is by being ones ourselves. So you will stumble, there will be days where you fail, but ask your child or the coach or the parent of the other child for forgiveness and do better next time. Mama Bears, whether we are in the arena or outside of it, let's today dare to leave a legacy of love.
Yes, I love it. Great job, sister. Those are wise, wise words. Amen to that. So, Mama Bears, what do you think? Tell us on social media, what have been your best experiences with youth sports? What are some of the times where you feel like things could have been a little bit better and that you maybe had some room for improvement or felt the need to ask another to maybe quiet down a little bit? But tell
been
us.
There.
We're on all of the medias. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. Hello. And what am I forgetting? Instagram. Oh, Instagram. It's so beautiful there. Follow us on social media. Check out our website, www.mamabeardarespodcast.com. Don't forget to leave a review on iTunes, because you could win a bundle of books.
Mama Bear. Still loving saying it.
Mama Bear's manifesto, which I
do
wrote,
you know the
but
title?
I can't quite remember the title of.
Which I wrote, can't remember what it's called.
Let's see, I think I called it, oh yes, it was the Mama Bear's manifesto. But let's read one of these recent reviews. Okay. So, let's see. Callie O just listened to her second podcast. It was fun and encouraging, and she's definitely subscribing and is excited to hear more. And she told us that on iTunes, and now we are just smiling ear to ear. So thank you for that. And maybe Callie will win that bundle of books. We're not
sure. That's what I was going to say. Just that like 6-word review gets her a fighting chance for a bundle of your books.
That's
come
right.
on.
I mean,
couldn't be easier.
Seriously. But also, come back on Monday because Tessie, oh my gosh, we have a big guest. Like, a Grammy-winning guest. What?
Yeah, you guys, usually we really are, you know, like we say it, we don't have women that are on magazines and such, but we made this exception this time. It's a Grammy Award-winning artist who had a person, who, you know, like a PR person who
with
we talked
several,
to first.
Like a person several. With a person, and she's kind of a big deal. So you're going to
yeah,
have
we
to come
were
back
sweating.
On Monday.
Would, yeah, we, there was a lot of sweat in the interview. You guys, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. Come back on Monday to hear.
Absolutely. So until then, have an amazing week.
Yeah, have a great week.
Blessings, bye.
Bless you, bye.
Bless you, bye.
Bless you, bye.
Bless you, bye.